Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Folks, the LDH has released their numbers as they do every day at 12 o'clock, and some of the biggest increases yet since they've been monitoring this. Yesterday, there were 4,025 positive cases. Today, 5,237. Those that have succumbed to this pandemic. Yesterday, reported deaths 185. Today, 239. 1,158 were in the hospital yesterday. Today, it jumps up to over 1,300, 1,355. On ventilators, 385 yesterday. Today, 438. The deaths in New Orleans rose from 86 to 101, and the deaths in Jefferson from 37 to 57. We have been monitoring these numbers. Experts have been monitoring these numbers. We had a day or two that it looked like we were hopefully beginning to flatten. That is not going to be indicative of the reports that we have today. We all know the U.S. economy has been basically rope-a-doped like never before in modern times. And in February, which seems like a really long time ago, unemployment was at a historic low, and now it is creeping towards double-digit numbers. The retail sector alone furloughed 500,000 employees in the last 2 weeks. The Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act has been passed and signed. The next critical step is for federal officials to quickly execute on implementation in an efficient way to ensure a streamlined process. It's a tough proposition to be in the dark relative to the duration of the pandemic, and even tougher in the dark not knowing when your aid will reach you. Joining us on the line, Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, welcome to the show.
Noel, great to talk to you again.
Guy, the unemployment numbers, as we expected, you and I talked about this last week, are increasing. Everyone is saying this is the make or break week for us, both from a public health perspective as well as an economic health perspective. Your thoughts?
I agree. And switching to the public health, there's a great website with real data. It's called covid19.healthdata.org. And what it shows is our worst peak is going to be April 10th. So we're going to keep ramping up to the 10th if they're accurate. But the good news is from then it ramps on down. And by the end of April, we're going to be looking pretty good. So nothing good in the short run. But if this projection is accurate, April 10th will be the worst day in terms of medical care. And then it will get better. But switching to economics, the economic effect is going to be a little slower to develop. And its peak is going to be later because what we're seeing now is companies like Macy's are essentially laying off their entire workforce because they realize no one is going into the stores and buying. The Airbnb folks that have hung tough are letting go their maintenance staffs, their managers. The hotels are closing one by one and letting go of their staff. You know, there's just a few hotels that are open, and the airlines, of course, are cutting their flights day by day. So we would expect unemployment to continue to decline, and that should be a problem for at least the rest of this month.
The Morgan Stanley and others have issued some warnings saying that they believe that no matter how successful we may be, and if we're able to shorten the duration, that because of what's gone on globally in the European markets and the Asian markets and so forth, that we will head into a global recession.
They're probably right, but there's a world of difference between a recession, a deep recession, and a depression.
Oh, yeah.
You know, recessions are part of the economic cycle. This boom has been going on longer than any boom on record, so we're actually due for a recession. And typically a recession, you have a decline in GDP for two quarters, and then you come back up. This may meet the classic definitions of a recession. You know, we'll have a decline in production for the first quarter, probably the second quarter, but realistically, the third quarter should be up, and the fourth quarter, if we don't mismanage it, should be up substantially.
So, Guy, you being a community banker, for the benefit of the listening audience, there are those banks that are SBA approved, SBA preferred, that will be processing under the Paycheck Protection Program, the Small Business Administration loans. If you could just describe for the listening audience kind of the infrastructure of the banking community and how that works.
Happy to. The first thing is the SBA has a good website that you can go to and look at, and it'll tell you which banks are preferred lenders. These are banks like ours that have been in the SBA program, we're familiar with the process, and we're ready to go right now. Other banks are eligible to participate, and the SBA said that they will approve any bank that wants to participate. So everyone's invited, and they can get involved. There's a little bit of a hang-up because, if you remember, we had the Senate voting, and then there was a delay, then the House voted, the president quickly signed. SBA loans can only be made once the SBA issues standard operating procedures and issues an application. The normal SBA application is pretty detailed and pretty complex. That is not what Congress envisioned for this crisis. They envisioned a streamlined, simple application. We are eagerly waiting for that from SBA. As soon as we get it, we'll push that out. And, you know, we and many of our preferred lenders have online places where you can sign up and get in the queue. And we'll, as soon as we get the application, we'll send it to you. But you'd be well advised to start gathering your tax returns, your payroll information, your mortgage expense, so that you're ready, because those are the key items that are going to be necessary for this loan.
As you see this, and I mean, you have a lot of experience in dealing with the SBA, and, you know, unfortunately, like myself, you have a lot of experience in dealing with disasters too. What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge here for local banks? I mean, do we have a number of banks that are both SBA approved or SBA preferred here?
We do. We have enough banks to handle this. I think the challenge is going to be an informational challenge. And, Neil, this is where you've been real helpful in getting out information. But there are three SBA programs, and everybody is focusing on payroll protection, and that's fine. But I want to mention two others that are very, very important. The first is the disaster program. That's an online application. You apply directly to the SBA up to $2 million. 3.75 is the interest rate, can go up to 10 years. But here's the interesting thing. Any business can apply. You get a $10,000 check for making the application, even if your loan's declined, and you don't have to pay that back. So for many businesses, that loan may be bigger than that 2.5 months of payroll that the Payroll Protection Act is. The Payroll Protection Act, of course, is forgivable to the extent you use it for people, but it may not be for some businesses sized appropriately to get them through.
Right. The other, especially thing, if you've laid furloughed people and you got a skeleton crew, right?
Well, and the challenge is, the idea of the payroll protection is to bring the employees back, but let's imagine you run you know, a big salon or a big barber shop. And so now you bring the people back, but the governor and the mayor won't allow you to entertain customers.
So, and we know that it's been extended through April 30th. So we're facing right. another 30 days, right?
So you're paying people that can't do any productive work. The other program that's well worth looking at, and this one hasn't gotten anywhere near the attention it deserves, is a traditional 7A. On this program, as long as you can show that the business has a good prospect of making money when things reopen, you can borrow money up to $10 million. There's no application fee. And what's most important is if the loan gets approved, your Uncle Sam will make the first 6 months of payments for you. That's not forgivable, not something you have to repay later, but you make the loan, you get a restart loan, you're able to put inventory in your store, get the place spiffed up. And for the first 6 months, the government will make the principal and interest payments for you, just like a rich uncle. So I would encourage people to look at all three programs before deciding which one makes the most sense.
Are you limited, Guy, to one once you make the decision? That's kind of where you are. So if you're a corporate entity that has some diversity, and you know you've got subunits of your corporate entity, let's just say one's in restaurant, one's in hotel, one's in something else, can you parch it up that way with the SBA?
You can't mix and match the disaster with the other programs. If you do the disaster, that has to be the only one you do. The other two you can mix and match.
And under the disaster program, up to 10 years, 3.75 interest, and that, what is the max that you can borrow under that program?
$2 million.
$2 million, okay.
So that the interesting thing on that one is if you have a plumbing supply company, they apply, get turned down, they still get $10,000 for filling out the application.
Yeah. And that would be direct to SBA.
Yeah, that's direct. It's on the website. It's when you go to the SBA.gov website, it's under COVID-19 disaster loan. It's now pretty self-evident, but it's labeled that way.
Now, the SBA has a lot of latitude in what they're doing, because in this event, they've suspended any payments on pre-existing debt that you have as a result of disasters until December the 31st of 2020. So every time that there's kind of a blip, they actually have the authority to help you manage through that if you were to avail yourself of one of these loans, correct?
Well, they've been given a lot of authority by Congress that they don't normally have. I mean, they normally have a fair amount of latitude, but this time they've been given wide latitude. And what they've actually said is if you have an existing SBA 7A loan, the federal government will make your next six payments for you. So that's a wonderful thing for people that have existing 7A loans. Your next 6 months are on the house.
Right. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back. Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. If you have a question, 260-1870 or text 870-870. And if you could give us, Guy, that website that you said, COVID-19. I got a lot of texts asking about that website. I tried to write it down, but I lost it.
It's SBA.gov.
No. The first one you did about the data on the...
Okay. Sure. It is covid19.healthdata.org.
Healthdata.org.
Yeah.
All right. covid19.healthdata.org. Check that out. Got a number of folks texting in. We'll be right back. Want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We have Guy Williams. We'll be right back with him when we come back from the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWE. We're back with Guy Williams, President of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, talking about the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, and in particular, the Small Business Administration programs. Guy, if you could be so kind, I probably have 10 texts here of people asking for you to repeat the three programs that SBA offers.
Okay. Starting from the top, the first one is the Disaster Loan Program. On the Disaster Loan Program, you apply on the SBA website, it's SBA.gov. great benefit to that is you get a $10,000 check for applying, even if the loan is declined. The second program is the Payroll Protection Program that we've heard a lot about. That's the program that is sized by 2.5 months of your payroll, and that's forgivable as long as you use it to pay employees or for appropriate purposes.
Utilities, rent, mortgage payments, stuff like that, right?
Yes, but an important proviso, if you use it for utilities and rent and you don't rehire all of your employees, you can have your forgiveness reduced by a formula. So it's safer to use it all for payroll. But you can use it for the other purposes as long as you hire back everybody or as long as you've kept everybody on the payroll. The final program is the traditional 7A, but they've upped the size to $10 million. They have allowed it with no application fee. And what's most important is your Uncle Sam will make the first 6 months of payments for you.
And so that is credited to you, that you don't have, that doesn't come back as indebtedness to you at the end of the loan.
It really is like you have a rich uncle. You've made the loan, and your rich uncle says, Newell, I want to help you get your business off to a good start, so I'm going to make the first 6 payments to the bank on your behalf. You don't have to pay me back. I got plenty of money. I don't need any of yours.
Right. So if you apply to one of these programs and you are denied, are you precluded from applying for one of the other programs?
No, there's no one strike, you're out. So you can apply for one, get denied, and apply for another.
So they're all unique unto themselves. A number of people have texted in about that. So your credit worthiness, is there some latitude there?
Well, there is and there isn't. On the traditional 7A, you have to have a business plan that makes sense. You have to have a reasonable credit and a prospect that it's a good business going forward. But, you know, most businesses are. You don't want to borrow money and go broke.
Right.
There's an important proviso that if you are behind in child care, you're ineligible for any of the programs.
In child support, you mean?
Child support, right. If you have not paid your court-ordered child support, you're not eligible for anything. Interestingly, you can be late on your federal taxes, and that's sort of okay. But I really do understand and sympathize, because somebody that won't take care of their own family, you know,
right?
Why should we be helping them?
So we know that under the Payroll Protection Program or Paycheck Protection Program, that some of that is forgivable. In the context of the disaster program or the traditional 7A, has there ever been a case where they have forgiven any of that debt?
Not for individuals or companies, but they have forgiven it for municipalities. And on behalf of the city of New Orleans, thank you, SBA and FEMA, for forgiving some of our debt after Katrina. But no, I would not expect to be forgiven if you're a company or individual making a disaster loan or a 7A.
Right. There, I have another text here says, can you ask him about a 1201 borrower?
Wow. I don't know what a 1201 borrower is.
I don't either. So maybe that's a typo along that. What about independent contractors? For the last week and a half, I've been getting a lot of questions about if you're an independent contractor, you know, what rules apply to you? And I'm assuming that they're meaning that they're like a sole proprietor independent contractor.
Well, there are two aspects to that. One is if you're a sole proprietor, whatever amount you've been paying yourself, that is eligible under the payroll protection. But as a sole proprietor, you're probably going to be better off looking at the disaster loan, because once again, you get that $10,000 application fee, and then whatever the loan is. There also is no early prepayment penalty. So if the economy comes roaring back and you're in good shape, you can pay these loans back anytime you want. The other independent contractor is sometimes companies employ people that are independent contractors, but they're really part of the normal workforce. They work for the company all the time. That can be included as part of the company's Payroll Protection Act loan request.
So one of the other questions that comes in a lot, Guy, is that let's say you're a small business, you're a landlord, and you own five or six pieces of rental property, and that's what provides sustenance for you and your family. Are you eligible under these programs as well?
The SBA does not typically have anything for landlords. They don't allow a business to have more than 49% of rentable space. For example, if you have a little strip mall that's part of your business, as long as you occupy more than 51, you can finance it. If it's really sort of a rental property, it's an ineligible use. There is a chance that if you apply as a landlord under the disaster loan, they might approve it, but there's no guarantee. But real estate development, real estate investment is typically not an approved SBA use. So it's not for the disaster, not for payroll, not for the 7A program. Okay. On the other hand, if you're a real estate company and you manage a bunch of apartments, you're eligible to apply under payroll protection.
Right. Let's go to Judy on line one. Judy, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I'm in a gap, I guess. My kids are in a gap. I'm trying to figure out, do they get stimulus, do they not? 2 years ago, if I go by 2018, I'm a widow, filing head of household, and my kids were, I claimed them. At this point, they are adults working in the, you know, workforce and paying rent and so forth. So how does it apply to them? Because I was their stimulus package in 2018 because they were on my leg. So I'm trying to figure out, are they going to get something? Well, do they get the $500? Because they're over 17. There's nothing saying anything about people over 17 and under, you know, like in college. What happens to those kids who were claimed that are in college?
How old are they now?
Right now, they're 23 and 25, but I claimed them 2 years ago.
They'll be eligible for the IRS payment as individuals. It'll go to them, not to you.
Okay, even
if I claimed them. It doesn't matter that you had them as dependents before. They're eligible for the stimulus payments as full-grown adults. The fact that you supported them is a great thing, and I hope they're grateful and appreciate it. But
yeah,
the checks will go to them, not you.
What she's saying is she claimed them as a dependent on her 2018 tax return, didn't intend to do it in her 2019. And if she hadn't filed the 2019, they will look to the 2018.
They're going to look at the age of the children now, and they're not. And you really wouldn't want them to be in the minor category because that's only $500.
No,
so
I'm looking for them
get full checks themselves as fully grown adults. So,
and I think, Judy, the real question is going to be this, is that you won't get it automatically because you did claim them in 2018. So either you file your 2019 tax returns now, or you may have to end up contacting the IRS with an explanation in order for that to occur.
No, I've already filed mine 2019, and
they're going to go by your 2019 filing.
Okay, well, one of them just graduated in December and is working. She's an educator, and she was hired even before she graduated to work in a school. And I'm just trying to find out if she's eligible for. She's not eligible for the $500 because she's under 17, but is she eligible for the $1,200?
Yes.
Even if I claimed her.
You did not claim her in 2019, right?
No, I did. I did because she just was graduated.
I don't know, Guy. I've been hearing both sides of that.
I think it's going to depend on how old is she right now?
She is going to be 23 in 5 days.
Yeah.
So she's 22.
Has she filed the tax return?
She works for like 2 weeks in the summer. I mean, under $5,000 kind of thing.
But yeah. Did she file a tax return?
Yeah. Then
she'll get the $1,200.
Okay, so each one of them has filed a tax return.
Yeah,
and I mean, my son's in the service industry. My son was in the service industry, and so he, even though I claimed him, he was in school, he worked through school because nobody goes free on Judy's ride, so everybody's got to work. So
right.
I'm just making sure that, that I'm just curious, what are they going to get? Because they keep asking me, and nobody's saying anything about people over 17 who are still kind of under their parents' wing. And, because as a widow, I was allowed to file, head of household. So until I stopped claiming them.
Lots of kids that get support from parents, but the IRS doesn't care about that. If they file the tax return, they're going to get their $1,200.
Excellent. Thank you so much, because that clears up a lot for me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome, Judy. Let's go to Wade on line two. Wade, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I was just interested to see if there was any help for self-employed people.
Guys, self-employed?
Are you self-employed as an LLC? How are you declaring yourself on your taxes?
I'm not incorporated and need a LLC. I'm an owner operator. I drive a truck.
I think you're gonna be eligible for the $1,200. In your owner operator, you don't have any sort of LLC or corporate shell. You're not a doing business as.
Nope.
I think you're going to end up just with the $1,200, and that's something we can check on and double check. But I believe just the $1,200.
Yeah. All right, that's what I wanted to know. Thanks.
Okay. Those that file, that get Social Security and don't file a tax return because they don't meet the minimum threshold, obviously, what happens in their case? Are we still waiting for the promulgation of those rules to see what's going
to
occur?
Yeah, we're waiting for how you let the government know, and I don't have an answer for that, so...
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. 260-1870 or text 870-870. We have Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other loan opportunities that are being presented. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back, and we're talking to Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, trying to get through a number of these questions. Let me just say, and I think, Guy, you would support this, that a lot of, typically what has happened in the past is not necessarily what's going to happen this time. There's still a lot of rules yet to be promulgated. They're trying to push this money out as quickly as possible, but at the same time, trying to put together, for lack of a better term, the playbook, the rule book, on a lot of what's going on. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right. And the good thing is this time they're moving very quickly. And Newell, I hope the guy who asked, who is self-employed, is still on the line, because I double-checked. I wasn't really happy with that answer. If they apply for a disaster loan on the SBA website, option number two is applicant is an individual who operates under a sole proprietorship with or without employees or as an independent contractor. So I think he might be eligible under option two, and there's certainly no harm to applying, and he may well get the $10,000 application bonus. So if he's listening, please apply and see what happens.
Yeah, and the IRS rules, there's still a lot of uncertainty as to a lot of that stuff as well. I read several articles and listened on some podcasts to some folks late last evening, and there seems to be a little bit of frustration in trying to decipher who's going to get what, when, why, and how.
Yes. And I'm glad we're not dealing with the Treasury issues, because the IRS regulations are even more complicated than the SBA. We're trying to figure that out at the bank, because we've kept all of our people on, and in fact, we're hiring more. So we think that we may get a tax credit, but we're not sure.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go to Andy on line one. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheriff, how you doing?
Good, and you?
Good. I'm going to piggyback on a statement you just made prior to the break that you made, and I'm in that situation. I'm retired. I don't make a lot. I'm on a very small fixed income, and I haven't filed to the point where I make such a little amount that I don't qualify. I mean, I don't have to sign up for my taxes, do my tax every year. And my tax lady said, you don't even have to file. You don't make enough. Okay, fine. But I'm paying on a back tax debt 3 years ago, and I'm paying the IRS through a private company, PayUSA. I think it's recognized by the IRS. And I sure hope so. I've been paying on it, and it's
it's a processing company.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a processing company, probably exactly. And anyway, I just wanted to know, since I'm paying tax, but yet, you know, how is that going to fall? Is that still in a sort of a nebulous situation here? I mean, how is that going to be played out? Can you answer, Mr. Williams?
I sure can. One of the nice things that they did this time that they didn't do last time is, even if you owe money to the IRS, they're still going to send you the $1,200.
Man, look, if I could get close enough to you to give you a hug, you just now gave me peace of mind, and that's all I'm going to give you.
Well, thank you so much, but the mayor and the governor would be upset if you gave me a hug, so we'll hold that till after this is over.
You know, it's an amazing guy, and I guess you've gone through a number of disasters and the frustration of trying to pull together all of this information, and is learned in, you know, in the expertise that you've developed over the years. Every disaster really is kind of unique unto itself, right?
It really is, but the interesting thing, we actually have to do stress scenarios at the bank and practice. One of the ones we did about 10 years ago was a national pandemic. So we thought this through, but it's, of course, different than what we thought. But it is, you know, businesses are always doing sort of strategic planning about, well, what if? And it does help. You know, when you go through something like Katrina, you realize it could really happen. So hopefully we're a little more resilient in New Orleans than a lot of other areas.
I was talking to Michael Heck earlier, and I know that you two work closely together. He made the observation that a lot of this PPP, Paycheck Protection Program, is really kind of based on trust, because it's the assets of the banks that are really being put at risk, and they trust that in the rears, you know, on the backside, that the SBA is going to make good on their promise to support that loan that you make. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I think one of the things that the SBA learned in the last disaster is, whenever you have a big disaster, there just aren't enough SBA employees to handle it. Because imagine if they were trying to hire SBA employees, get them trained, get them laptops, get them set up to do this. Well, there are over 4,000 banks in America, so it's a lot easier to use the existing infrastructure. And the good thing is, banks are pretty much rule followers. If you tell us what the rules are, we're going to follow those rules. So we're waiting for the guidelines. We're going to follow the guidelines. We're going to do what the government wants us to do. And that's going to get the money to the people that need it the fastest.
What does this do, though, to, like, the, you know, you do a lot of home mortgages. When you have the federal government kind of replacing the monies that y'all put out in the market, obviously you get a return on that investment. By processing SBA, the first part of the question, is there a return for the banking community? And what does it do to the home mortgage business in general when you have so much money coming from, like, the central bank that's being put out on the streets?
Well, two-part question. One, these loans, because they cap the rate and the fees, are really not a profit maker for the banks. This is more community service, and we really are genuinely happy to do it. they're also very short. Ideally, we're going to put these loans out, and in 2.5 months, they're forgiven, and they go away. So we're going to do a lot of work for a very short loan. The home mortgage side is very intriguing, and we're working with our delegation because while the government is working to make money available to people, they're also working to make home mortgages harder to get. We talked about this before. They've raised the credit scores on FHA, VA, Fannie Mae, and USDA loans. So in a city like New Orleans, that's going to cut 10 to 15 to maybe even 20% of the people out and make them ineligible for a mortgage. The other thing is the Federal Reserve is doing a great job, but their activity in the market has actually caused 15-year mortgage rates to go up. So there's a little bit of an unintended consequence, and it's hard to manage everything perfectly, but we wish that they wouldn't raise the credit score standards in the middle of this when people are struggling. And, you know, some folks are going to be a little late on some bills. And when you simultaneously have a shortage of income and a higher credit score, it does hurt the home mortgage business.
And that's kind of been prior to, you know, to the changes as a result of Enron and all of that. That's kind of, you know, and the bank failures in 08, 09, that was the moving force or the driving force of stimulating the economy, right?
Well, it, you know, each crisis is a little different. The 2009 was a financial crisis. A lot of people got overextended with subprime mortgages. But in this case, what the government's done is they've taken standards that were in place in January and February, and they've raised them. So the standards weren't unreasonable, but I think in their desire to protect the balance sheet of the government-sponsored entities, they're taking some risk off the table. I'm not sure this is the right time to do it, but that wasn't our decision. We just have to live with it.
Right. Let me just ask this. Ian, do we need another break? All right. We're going to get to a break. 260-1870 or text 870-870. We'll come back with Guy Williams, his final thoughts when we return. Stay with us. We're back with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, talking about any number of loan programs that the SBA has to offer. Let's go to the line, talk to Pam. Pam, welcome to the show. Pam? Well, we lost Pam. Let's go to Troy on line three. Troy, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys. Thank you all for the help that y'all are doing for the community. You guys are, people are really, really hurting. Quick questions. 26-year-old, single mom, two young kids, didn't file last year. Tax information, is she eligible? I'll hang up.
Yes, she is.
Okay,
she
great.
Is. The
Thank
good news is
much,
she's yeah. eligible, and so are the two kids. Go to the IRS website, and they'll show you how. But it'd be good for her to file her taxes now, preferably with a direct deposit account number, because then it'll get to her more quickly.
Okay. The reason being is she still not still didn't make enough to file for this year as well.
It doesn't matter how much or little you made. Actually, it does matter if you made too much because you don't get it. But
yeah.
If she's making very little, she's still eligible. And there are directions on the IRS website to make sure that they know where you are.
Thank you very much, guys. God bless.
You too. God bless you.
I want to remind everybody, if you go to radio.com, rewind this entire interview, you can listen to it in case you missed something, because I'm getting a lot of text in the dozens. It's stuff that we talked about early on in the interview, and you'll be able to get that information there. Guy, final thoughts.
No, I want to end on something a little lighter. You know, we're all stressed out. We're all working hard. It's a good time to be kind and thoughtful to your neighbors, see who you can help out. But the other thing we're suggesting is we all need exercise. Festival season is going to come back. Go online and look at Cajun Zydeco dance lessons from your privacy of your living room. Get ready for the festival season. It's great exercise. You're not violating the curfew regulations. And when we do reopen, you'll be ready.
Absolutely. Guy Williams, I can't thank you enough for the time that you've spent with us. And I know you and I have talked about having you on every week, and we will certainly live up to that commitment, because I think you're putting a lot of minds at ease with some of this, the information that you have to offer. And please know, on behalf of the listening audience and myself, we truly appreciate it.
Well, Newell, thank you for what you do. It's a pleasure.
All righty. That's Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Folks, we want to thank you for your participation today. We hope that we've been able to provide some information that is relevant, current, necessary for you to figure out what your next steps are. We will continue to do our research in trying to bring that information forward. Stay tuned. Scoot's up next. See you again tomorrow.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.